praise, exalt Him, worship Him. Worship Him, magnify Him.
You are the love of my life.
Short of words to describe you and how much you really mean to us. Thank you for being there always. Thank you for loving us even as you do. Thank you for caring for us. Thank you for speaking to us as you will even now. Thank you for the things that you do that only you can. So we give you the praise, we give you the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Good morning. John chapter 16, verses 23 and 24. I want to speak a little bit about a most important subject that I also think, unfortunately, many believers are failing at now. We said a bit of that in the Bible school as well, where we were looking at the chapter and all that for the day. And we're studying that. And we're talking about, I spoke a bit about the subject of prayer. One of the things you'll find in the Bible is that as it speaks about the day of the Lord approaching, it emphasizes the need for us to pray more. You know, so there are a few things that are emphasized. There are a few things that are said. Purity is emphasized. We need to work on it. Can I have an amen? So the Bible says that knowing that we will be, everything doesn't end here, then we ought to be of holy conduct while we are here. Okay, so that's one thing. The Bible also speaks about the fact that as the end of the day is coming near, we ought not to forsake the gathering of ourselves together in Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 25. And when he says we shouldn't forsake, I think people are a little cold, so you might want to switch off one, two fans there. So when he says don't forsake, you know, the gathering of ourselves together, he gave us a reason in verse 24 preceding verse 25 where he gave that instruction. He said it's so that we may provoke one another to love and to good works. Meaning that there is a chance that I'm not going to do the things I'm supposed to do. I'm not going to walk in love as I'm supposed to do. And so I need to meet with believers regularly. And then he puts another phrase in there. He said, even much more as you see the day approaching. And that says a lot to me because it tells me that as the day is approaching, there's a likelihood that there will be so many things bombarding us that will make us a bit like a dicer, for lack of a better word. That means that we will be a bit less caring about the things that we ought to pay attention to. We'll have so many issues, so many burdens, so many challenges. In fact, when talking about Mark chapter 4, and I like speaking a lot about Mark chapter 4, that is the parable of the sower, because if you are going to live a productive Christian life, I've said it many times before, then you will have to understand that parable and how the word of God works for us. Meaning that it's not going to work for everybody. Not everybody who says I'm a believer is going to experience all of the things of God that we're meant to experience, but everybody can. The beauty of it is that everything that God has is for all of us. In fact, the scriptures make it clear to us that with God there's no partiality. Meaning that I can have everything that Mr. A has or Mr. B has in the will of God. Can I have an amen? That means if I can find it in the scriptures, it belongs to me as much as it belongs to anybody else. If there is protection in the scriptures, it belongs to me. If there's guidance in the scriptures, it belongs to me. Can I have an amen? Whatever I can find in the Bible, it belongs to me. It doesn't belong to one or two people. There are no special people who can lay claim to the promises of God's word more than the others. But there is what we do with God's word that determines how it works for us. And that's what the parable of the sower is about. Mark chapter 4, Matthew chapter 13, I think it's Luke chapter 8, if I'm right. You'll find that parable repeated in all of those places. And it tells you, and I encourage you to go back and study it again and again and again. And one of the things we'll find, I'm digressing a little bit, but one of the things you'll find in there is that it talks about the people that the word comes to, but they don't even receive it. It doesn't stay with them at all. Matthew 13 explains and he says they don't even understand it and they don't care. It just goes. It comes in one ear, it goes out the other. That's the first category. Second and third categories. Fourth category is the one that is productive. The word works for him. So second and third categories are quite important. And then he talks about the kind of challenges that people go through. In the second category, he receives it, he's happy, receives it with joy and all of that and gladness, but it has no roots in him. So his issue is that things are going very well. He's excited about everything, so he doesn't even think much about God. But when the persecution arises for the word's sake, so he's excited, he believes it, but the persecution comes for the word's sake and then immediately he scatters. And then the third category is the one that is bombarded with life, the challenges, and then he breaks it down. He says he has the issues, the ease, and he has the challenges of life, the anxiety, the deceitfulness of riches. So you can have challenges in twofold. That's what I'm trying to say to you. That is that you can have so many things working so well that you forget about God. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And you can have things not working well at all that you also forsake God. Are you still here? Tell your neighbor, say, I know he's not talking about you. But then that's why the Bible says that much more as we see the day approaching, we ought to gather together so that we can provoke one another to love and to good works. But the third thing you will find very often in the Bible that it talks about as the day approaches is the fact that you and I ought to be people of prayer. If you never had a strong prayer life, this is the time to develop it. Can I have an amen? Yeah, because you will see things. Things are happening around us on a faster pace, on a deeper level that are very spiritual. As a matter of fact, the world we live in is not much more a physical one than it is a spiritual one. That means that the world we live in is much more spiritual than it's physical. And the people you are seeing and the steps they are taking, whether for good or for evil, are being inspired by the things that are not seen. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Yeah, so people are being inspired all of the time, whether they are children of God or not. You know, we worry many times and say, oh, because if somebody is a Christian, then he has to become president. We have to have a Christian as president for the country to be good. That's not correct. Are you hearing me? Now, when the righteous rules the city, people rejoice. But it's not correct that he has to be a Christian for the country to be good. No. King Cyrus, who was used to rebuild Jerusalem, was a pagan king. But then God said, Cyrus is my servant, and God put it in his heart to rebuild his city and rebuild his temple. Meaning that God can put things in anybody's heart, and the devil can put things in people's heart. Are you still there? But if we will walk with God, if we will determine things with God and make things go the way that God has in mind for you and I, and even for people around us, we'll have to be people of prayer. Are you hearing me? Prayer is not just a religious obligation, but prayer is a privileged position where you and I can begin to swing and sway that the affairs of this life. And prayers are meant to be answered. When you pray, there ought to be results. Can I have an amen? So really, this morning, what I'm talking about is foundation for effective prayers. You know, how do you pray? Or how do you get to that place? Or what do you know that makes you become an effective person in the place of prayer? Where you're not just praying for praying sake. Because there are people who do a lot of that. They pray, some pray so that if you ask them, they can answer you. Abi? You know, recently we were in Compass Fellowship, which is the online fellowship we have for people who are abroad. Somebody was sharing, and she was sharing about how she was finishing a course, and she had been thinking about, you know, which job, a job and all of that. And then she and another sister just had the burden and agreed and said, let's wait on God for 3 days. You know, they were in two different places. They said, let's wait on God for 3 days. We'll fast and we'll pray together. And they did that for 3 days. On the third day, what do you call them now? HR or whatever, you know, a recruiter, recruited her, contacted her, sent her a message, and said, look, I have this position. Are you interested? She said, thought it was a scam. Is that how things work? You know, I've been looking, I've been applying, and then on the third day, somebody then writes you and says, I am so and so person, I have this position, I believe it's just the right job for you. Are you interested? So, you know, but then she checked it out. I mean, no harm in the conversation. Started off the conversation, she went first interview, second interview, also I think the third interview, and the people were like, as if you are the one we've been waiting for. Got the job, she just started it very recently. She said the job is everything she wished for. Everything. I mean, the job environment, the pay. She says everything she would have wanted. This is exactly what she wants. Why? Because prayers do get answered. Look at your neighbor, say prayers do get answered. John chapter 16, verse 23. Jesus said, and in that day you'll ask me nothing. Most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. He will. I want you to see the certainty with which he speaks. I like it because it's challenging for me when I read scriptures like this. He said, in that day, you will ask me nothing. And then he says, most assuredly. If Jesus has said assuredly is enough. Abi? Just assuredly is enough. Then he says, most assuredly, I say to you, whatever you ask the Father in my name, he will give you. Until now, you have asked nothing in my name. Ask and you will receive, that your joy may be full. So what makes people pray and the prayer gets answered? What makes people develop confidence? I like 1 John chapter 5 and verse 14. And he said, this is the confidence we have, that when we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we may ask, then we know that we have it granted to us. Now, what I like about it is the way it starts. He said, this is the confidence. Can I hear you say the confidence? So what's happening to most people is that we don't have the confidence in prayer. Are you hearing what I'm saying? We don't have the confidence that something is happening. We don't have the confidence that it means something when we're praying. One of the things I've realized is that when you have that confidence, it's easier to get up from your bed and go and pray. Are you hearing what I'm saying? When you have that confidence, there's something about it that when things are happening, you are thinking to yourself, all I need is a little time to talk to God about this. And God will show me what to do. Answers will come. Now, that confidence is what I'm talking about. How do we have that kind of confidence? Number one, you need to know your relationship with God. And I'm not talking about anything. I'm talking about what Jesus has done already. Are you hearing me? I'm not talking about your, I'm somebody who fasts 3 days a week. I'm not talking about any of that. And in fact, there's a danger these days when I hear certain things. Certain doctrines just go in cycles. They come, they go, they come back, you know. And there's a legalism. You know why they call the Methodist Church? Because the founders related with methods. With methods. You have a certain number of days you must fast every day. You have a certain number of hours you must pray and all of that. So it was methodical. That's why it was called the Methodist Church. Now, they were great men. John Wesley, great men who were at the beginning of it. But people took the methods instead of the person. What do I mean by that? They followed the methods and they thought it is in the methods that the power lay, not in the relationship that the methods were supposed to generate with God. You understand what I'm saying? Jesus was speaking about that in John chapter 5. He said, you read the scriptures because you think that in them you have life. He said, but these are they which testify of me. Meaning that you are reading the scriptures thinking that, if I can read 4 chapters a day, then that I have life. That's what will bless me. He said, but the scriptures are actually just talking about me. They are supposed to reveal me to you. So if you are reading the 4 chapters a day, just to say that I read 4 chapters a day, not so that the 4 chapters a day will reveal him to you, you get to know him better, then it's a waste of time in a sense. Never entirely a waste of time to be exposed to God's word. Do you understand what I mean by any sense? But you must understand that the reason for the methods is that the methods will reveal the personality to you. Can I have an amen? So what do I mean? Know your relationship. Be confident in your relationship with God. What's our relationship with God? We are children of God. Abi? Now, that should count for something. For many of us, we take it for granted. What it really means. In 1 John chapter 3 and verse 1, he said, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called children of God. Behold, what manner of love. He was saying this is a great privilege. He was saying, he called us children of God. Behold, look at it very well. This is something huge. This is something amazing. This is a great privilege. There's something to be said about the fact that I am a child of God that should give you the confidence in the place of prayer. Are you hearing me? Have you ever seen a child who walks up to the father and he says, Baba, 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 Mokurum Yoga, Baba, any kani, Baba, ni Dilewai, Baba, George, maybe Timiluwa to Pastor NY. Have you? Daddy, daddy. Awesome daddy. Amazing daddy. Daddy, daddy, please, daddy. I'm not worthy, daddy. Eh? And what do you want? I want ice cream, daddy. Eh? Have you ever seen such a request? You know, the way they hold daddy, mommy, the way they just come up and I want. That's the boldness that comes with the relationship, the knowledge of who you are. Can I have an amen? One of the things I was thinking about is that those who understand that, reading the scriptures, I discovered that they
may pray long prayers in secret, but they don't pray long prayers in public. You know what I mean? I mean that when the challenges face them, you don't see them praying long prayers. You see them counting and standing upon the relationship that they have. So when you look at 1 Kings chapter 18, for instance, and you're looking at Elijah. Now, those are not people who are even children of God. That's somebody who is a servant of God. We are also servants of God. We're his messengers. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But above that, we are children of God. And when, we all talk about it. Most of us know the story. Elijah called them and said, bring the prophets of Baal, and then we'll all, the God who answers by fire, he shall be God. But when those people started, they made their own altar, and the Bible says they were chanting and chanting from morning till evening, and Elijah was making fun of them. He wasn't even in a corner praying and saying, God, you mustn't fail me. Oh. God, I've started this thing. Oh. Yeah? God, don't put me to shame. He was there and laughing at them, making fun of them, and saying, maybe your God traveled. Maybe he's on leave. Maybe your God is sleeping. Maybe he was just laughing. And then when he became Elijah's turn, he put the altar together. Then he said, pour water on it. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Let somebody say confidence in prayer. He said, pour water on it. He said, pour again. They poured it until water was just flowing all over the floor. And then he turned and he said, God. He said, look, I think that's verse 36. He said, Lord, do this thing and let them know that I am your servant. And I've done everything at your command. He was standing upon the relationship. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Listen, you are a child of God means a lot. It means God pays attention to you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? It means that when you are speaking, God takes it seriously. Are you still with me? You know, in John chapter 5, something else happened. John chapter 5, Jesus was speaking. And he said, my father walks and I walk. Then Wahala broke out. He had done things. He had broken the Sabbath. And then he said to them, he said, what I see my father doing is what I'm doing. And the people got angry. They just went berserk. And what was the source of their anger? They said, by calling God his father, he makes himself equal with God. That was the anger. They said, of all the things this guy has done, broke Sabbath. Not. He said, no, nothing compares to this one. He said, God is his father. That means he makes himself equal in rights, in privileges with God. Look at somebody say, I'm a child of God. So God listens to you. Are you hearing me? You don't take it for granted that when you pray, when you kneel down or you stand up or you go to a corner or you are not even going anywhere but you are talking to God, don't take it for granted that God doesn't pay attention to you. Are you still there? You will catch his attention anytime, any day. One of the most interesting things you find, you know, when you look at mothers especially, and you are in some workplaces, you have a nursery for nursing mothers that is just in the office. And then you hear babies crying. And you can hear a mother sitting down, and she just stops conversing with you. You're having a conversation, and the mother just stops and says, my child is crying. And you're thinking, of the babies that are there, how do you know? How many... You know what I'm talking about? Say, how do you know that your child is crying? Because the relationship means a lot. Are you hear what I'm saying? It goes beyond natural understanding. There's a bonding. There's something about your relationship with God that will make God answer you. We're talking about confidence in prayer. Are you still there? How do you develop that confidence in prayer? Number two, righteousness consciousness. Let's go to James chapter 5. James, the fifth chapter. So number one, know your relationship and know what it means. Know what it means to be a child of God. Don't just sing it. I am a child of God. I'm a friend of God. I'll be with one again. And don't just sing songs. Are you following me? But know the depth of the meaning of those words that you are saying. But when he says, I am his child. You know, I was thinking about the president's son. And now everybody gets angry. You know, but whether he tries or not, if he shows up as a president's son, he will be accorded privileges. You get what I'm saying? Whether he tries or not. there's no way that you will ignore him. There's no way you'll be ignored. Whether he tries or not, his father won't ignore him. Are you hearing me? You can be angry all you want. You can be angry all you want. He can do certain things for you in public in order to please you, but believe you me, he will always have an influence. Do you understand what I'm saying? Just like you have an influence with your parents. So righteousness, consciousness, number two. Verse 16, James 5, 16. He said, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much. How many people like that scripture? But you know where we have a problem? Yeah? He said, righteous man. Abby? Am I saying the truth? That's where the devil, when you remember that scripture, the devil says, not you. Abi? He says, that scripture is correct, but not you. It doesn't apply to you because you are not a righteous man, you are not a righteous woman. You can't claim that kind of scripture, but that's not correct. Because what we have interpreted righteousness to mean is our right doing, but that's not correct. Within the New Testament, righteousness means the gift that God bestowed upon us when Jesus died for us. Romans chapter 5 verse 17 talks about that. It talks about those who have received the gift. Can I hear you say the gift? It said those who have received the gift of righteousness. So in the New Testament, when you read righteousness, it's pretty clear what he's talking about. He's talking about those who have received a gift. What was that gift? He said in 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 21, he said, he that knew no sin, he was talking about Jesus, became sin for us. He that knew no sin became sin for us so that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. The lady Kennedy again told a story of a lady he went to pray for, was on a wheelchair. And he said as he prayed for her, to be healed. He said Jesus actually appeared and he could see Jesus stretching his hand towards her and the woman was bending away and said, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy, I'm not worthy. But Jesus appeared. I mean, he could see it and he was saying, I'm not worthy, and shrinking away from his hand. Many of us shrink away from the hand of God saying, I'm not worthy, I am not righteous. But that scripture is for you. Are you hearing what I'm saying? A fervent prayer of a righteous man, and that's talking about you, avails much. Avails much. You need to know that what he has done for you gives you the right of righteousness. Or gives you the gift of righteousness. And by that gift of righteousness, you can stand before God and pray, and God will answer you. Are you still there? So many of us, what we have walked under is a sin consciousness. We're always thinking about our sin. We're always thinking about our sin. The intentional, unintentional, the known, the unknown. We're always thinking about our sins. But we need to start thinking about our righteousness. We need to start meditating upon our righteousness. Start thinking about it. That even me, you know what the psalmist wrote? He said, if God should count iniquity, who can stand? If God should. So if you are talking about sin, nobody can. But that's why Jesus came and died for us and he became sin personified. So that we might become the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Are you hearing me? And since you are the righteous, every time you stand to pray, and the devil says, is it you? Now your type? You say, yes. Now my type, Jesus died for. Are you hearing me? And that's why I am the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Let nothing shake you off it. Are you with me? I said, are you still there? You know, that's why the Bible talks about coming in boldly in Hebrews chapter 4. You know, he said, look, Jesus, he was talking about the priesthood of Jesus. And from above verse 14, let's read Hebrews 4 from verse 14. Hebrews chapter 4. Are you still here? Hebrews 4, 14. He says, seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. You know what that means? Hold fast what you believe. That's what he's talking about. So, seeing that we have a great high priest, don't let anything shake your confession. I am the righteousness of God. You can keep saying that. Oh, but the devil said, but you are the one who did this yesterday. Say, yes, but I am the righteousness of God. I have been cleansed. I've been forgiven. The blood of Jesus works for past sins, present sins, future sins. Can I have an amen? He died for us before we committed the sins that we're committing. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so that's why I said you hold fast that confession. Don't let it go. Hold it fast. He said, for we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, meaning that he knows even your weaknesses. All those things the devil is poking you at. You see, you're thinking. See what you still did. See how you did that. He said, no, we do not have a high priest who cannot sympathize with our weaknesses, but was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Now, this is where I'm going, verse 16. He said, let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. What I'm after, he says, let us therefore, remembering that our high priest has offered the sacrifice for us, let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. Let us come boldly. Don't come shaking. Don't come being afraid. Don't come being timid. But let us come boldly expecting that we will receive grace. Can I have an amen? Number three, you need to know God's relationship with his word. Okay? What are we talking about? Developing confidence in prayer. Foundations for confidence in prayer. So, what do you need to know? You need to know God's relationship with his word. You need to know that God doesn't toy with his word. So, the biggest challenge, I always tell people, the biggest challenge you have is to find God's word on a matter. Did you hear what I said? Your biggest challenge is finding what God has to say on a matter. If you can find what God said about it, then the matter is a done deal. Because of God's relationship with his word. It's not about you. It's about how he treats his word. Are you still with me? In Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, I watch over my word to perform it. I watch over my word. So it means that I just, you know, many times I get people who still say to me, I want to ask you something. I say, well, say, promise me you will do it. I say, never. Never. I can't promise you until you tell me. You know, and what they are playing on is that they know that I keep my word. Do you understand what I'm saying? And I'm a human. So what they are playing on is that I know this guy. And as far as I know him, if he says it, he will do it. And the truth is that I can still fail as a human being. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But they know that I pay attention to my word. That if I said I'm going to do this, I will do everything I possibly can in order to do it. How much more God, who will not just want to do it, but who has the capacity to get it done. And that God now says to you, I watch over my word to perform it. In Psalm, is it Psalm 136 or 138 verse 2? He said he esteems his word above his name. Why? I was asking God years ago, why? How does that say that? They were singing about the name of Jesus just now, and how powerful it is. Philippians chapter 2 tells us about the power in the name of Jesus. I was thinking, how does that work with this one, where he says he esteems his word above his name, and God said to me, he said, because if your word is not good, then you have no name. He said, so that scripture is correct as written, but I esteem my word above my name. You must know the relationship of God with his word. But this is how, if you are going to develop confidence in prayer, know that God takes his word very seriously. Are you with me? So you will spend the time trying to find it. What has God got to say? In fact, many times when there's an issue, I'm praying to God and I'm asking him, what do you have to say on this matter? It's not yet asking him to do something or the other. I'm asking him, what do you have to say on this matter? Because if I can find what he has to say, if I can find the scriptures and all of that, I'm just praying in my heart and I'm saying, God, show me. Because once I can find it, then I can stand on it in the place of prayer. And I can expect answers to my prayer. Are you still there? You know, the problem we have is that many of us don't also take our own word seriously. You tell somebody, I will come on Tuesday at 8. Tuesday came, it went. Wednesday came, it went. Thursday came, it went. Friday came. Then you say, you saw the person, hey, oh boy, Anna, how are you? You are not even talking about the appointment of Tuesday. Oh boy, Anna, how are you today? Blah, blah, blah. And the person is waiting for you to say something, apologize. But, and then he said, ah, come. You said you were coming on Tuesday. He said, I didn't even remember anything. Okay, next week. You know, we don't take our own word seriously, but God is not like us. Are you hearing me? Go to Psalm 89. Psalm 89. Are you still here, anybody? Listen to me. This is just for people who want to pray and pray effectively. So the rest of you can block your ears. Okay? Just people who want to pray and be effective. That when you pray, you know that answers will come. Psalm 89, verse 34. Are you there? It says, my covenant I will not break, nor do what? Nor alter the word that has gone out of my lips. You must know that you know that you know that God takes his words seriously. You know what they did with Jesus when Jesus was walking the earth? The Bible said the Pharisees, the Sadducees, they would send people there in order to get him to talk so that they might find what to hold on to in his words and use against him. You know what that means? It means that even in the place of death, if they can quote him and say, you said this, he will not deny. Are you following what I'm saying? It means that they just needed to record him. And they were putting people in the meetings and say, in fact, they sometimes sent people in order to make him speak and ask questions. So that if he can say it, they know that if you take him to the tribunal and he say, you said, you know, there was no recorder. You understand what I'm saying? There's no recorder. It's just witnesses saying he said. Then you can say, me, just like they did with Peter, isn't it? And when they asked Peter, a small girl asked Peter and said, you are one of his disciples. Peter said, me. I've not seen this man before. He says, out of curiosity that I was just following them. I just saw people holding this guy and I was following to see. And then when he sneaked in and entered the place and sat down watching the trial and all that, somebody came and said, you do look like one of the disciples. He said, I swear to God, Longbo. In fact, I just entered this city now. I don't live near. I don't know anything. I just enter. It's entertainment that I came for. I heard something was happening. That's why I came. And then told them somebody came and said, you do sound like one of them. He said, me. That's the way I be. I have this problem with my tongue. When I was born, my tongue was twisted. That's why they say I sound like people from there. But our own village is very different. Are you hearing what I'm saying? But they knew that Jesus would never deny. Are you still there? And it's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Anything you can find in God's word, God will stand by. Can I have an amen? And number four, have faith in God. Can I hear you say, have faith in God? Say it again. Say, have faith in God. You know where that came from? It came from Mark 11 and verse 22, when Jesus had cursed the fig tree. They were walking by. He looked at the fig tree. He thought there were fruits upon it. There was no fruit. And he cursed the fig tree. And he said, no man will eat fruit from you evermore. And next day when they were passing by, the Bible says that the fig tree which he cursed had dried up from the root. And they said, Master, see, the tree which you cursed has dried up. And then he used that as an object lesson. And he said to them, have faith in God. What I like about just that phrase, the way it is, have faith in God, is that have faith in who God is. Are you hearing me? Have faith in who God is. Whenever you talk about God, it changes everything. Anything, any situation you might be in, if we mention God and we put God in that matter, just like Pastor Enwe was saying earlier, once you say God, everything changes. Job was speaking about it in Job 42 and verse 2. He said, I know that you are God, and there's nothing you have determined to do that you cannot do. Nobody can stop you. That's what we're talking about. That's the person we're talking about. And that's who you ought to have faith in. Don't have faith in your own faith. Don't have faith in your fasting. Are you hearing me? Don't have faith in your prayer, how many hours you have prayed. Don't have faith in any of those things. Don't even have faith in the fact that you serve in church. but have faith in God. Are you with me? And that means that when you are praying, think of who you are praying to. Think of his capacity. Think of his willingness. Think about his love. John said that we know and have believed in the love that God has for us. So sometimes that's all you are thinking about. That's all you are believing in. The fact that God loves me too much to leave me in this trouble. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Sometimes you can't quote this or quote that, but you can believe in the love that God has for you. And say, this thing can't end this way. God can't look away from this one. Why? Because I know, I believe in the love that God has for me. Have faith in God. Please tap your neighbor and say, have faith in God. We give up on God too easily. Because we think he's like one of our friends, families, neighbors. But God is God. Can I have an amen? God is God. And once you put God in Luke chapter 1, the Bible says that the angel came and spoke to Mary and said, oh, you are blessed that thou among women, blah, 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 and you shall have a child who is the Son of God. And Mary said, how can these things be, seeing that I know not a man? Are you hearing what I'm saying? And at the end of the day, what did he say in verse 37? He said, with God, nothing shall be impossible. He was saying that, look, once we put God in the equation, Mary, forget about all the permutations you have, all the 10 reasons why things may not work, all the 15 reasons why things may be this way or that way, or why along the way this will not be approved, that may not be approved, and all of it all goes away once we put God in that equation. Mark chapter 9, a man came and said, I brought my son to your disciples, but they couldn't help him. He said, since he was young, he's had it for many years. It's a long-standing problem. And the devil in him would take him and tear him apart and throw him in the fire. Sometimes it would throw him in the waters. He said, and I brought him to your disciples, but they couldn't help him. He said, but if you can do anything, he was talking to God, if you can do anything, have mercy on me. And Jesus said, no. If you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Verse 37, Luke chapter 1, he said, for with God nothing shall be impossible, but if you can believe, Mark chapter 9, verse 23, all things are possible that believes. Put them together. All things are possible to him who believes in God, with whom nothing shall be impossible. Are you hearing me? All things are possible to him who believes in God, with whom nothing shall be impossible. So have faith in God. Let me preach it to your neighbor again. Say, have faith in God. So why we get up and we go to God and we pray? It's not because of us. In Acts chapter 3, there was a man who was raised, a crippled man. And then Peter spoke and he said, why are you all looking at us? As if it's by our own power or holiness that we made this man walk. He said, it is faith in his name. It's by faith in his name that gave this man this perfect soundness. This perfect soundness. He said, look, it's not us. It's him. If we have faith in him, everything works out. Are you there? We pray because we're praying to God. And we know that God can do anything. Can I have an amen? So what are your foundations for effective prayer? Number one, know your relationship with God. Number two, have a righteousness consciousness. Number three, know God's relationship with his word. Know how seriously God takes his word. And number four, have faith in God. Let's stand on our feet. I have made you too small in my eyes, oh Lord, forgive me, and I have believed in a lie, but you were unable to help.
pray with you. Is anybody believe in God for a healing? Let me lay hands on you. Pray with you. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your healing power. Goes right through her. Crown on your head to the soles of your feet. Thank you. Strengthened by the power of God. Yeah, that's that flow. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, flows right through her. Causes a complete healing and strengthening from the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, that's it. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Get stronger and stronger and stronger and stronger. Strengthen every part, every cell, every bone, every joint. In the name of Jesus. Every blood cell. Everything. Every part of you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Thank you. Thank you. Makala Oshda Brahane. Thank you, Lord. 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 Rako Sapari de Prakadishta Bahane. Yeah, that's it. Just went right through you now. Just felt it went right through you. Makala Boshta Brahane. Thank you, Lord. Made every bit whole. 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 Thank you, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Thank you, because it flows right through her now. You're made whole, healed by the power of God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Le prosto feladista brahane sokoto brahista bahane. Le kedosta brakedoso brakista bahane. Maka posta brahane. Le prosto felista brahane. There are special anointings. There are many ways God heals, but there are special anointings. I often will minister by that, and that's what I'm doing. And that's why most of the time you say, I also use my right hand. I can sense that power strong upon it. And I knew exactly many years ago when it started. The little Roberts would say, you know, to his son, and he says, God will use you, and his power will rest on your left hand. And his power was on his right hand. He said, Dad, why my left hand? He said, because you're left-handed. But the same special anointing. Special anointing. Acts 19 talks about that. Father, thank you. Thank you for your healing power. Let's bring your answer. Thank you for your healing power. Yeah, flows through him now. Thank you. Thank you, Lord. Makes him every bit whole. Yeah, because Jesus took the sickness and the weakness, the infirmities. So thank you. Sickness is gone. Weakness is gone. By the power of God. Yeah, that's it. Just went right through you now. Just went right through you. I felt that flow. I felt that flow. Makes you every bit whole. From the crown of your head to the soles of your feet. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Yeah, thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And I tend to pray for people as led by the Holy Ghost, like administering a drug in dosages. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Yeah, that's it. Goes right through him. Makes him every bit whole. Makes him every bit whole. Was that something with your leg, sir? Was that your leg? Because I saw you were wondering, was that your leg? Can you lift it? There was pain. Is there still pain? Could you move it before? Morning as now. You're feeling better.
Because it says you shall lay hands on the sick and they shall recover. Meaning it's a process. But that process can be 1 minute. That process can be 1 hour. But the main thing is the power of God went right through you. The power of God went right through you. And you need to keep thanking God. But I'm recovering. 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 Someone's had very bad nightmares. Very bad nightmares. Leke boshta brahando sopra dishta bahane. Leke bosto pradishta brahande. Le bosa vrekishta bahane. Le posta brahande. Le proste velida bahane. He says, no weapon fashioned against you shall prosper. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. No weapon. So the intention of those things is to bring you fear. Is to make you afraid that something is going to happen to you. But you need to know that as long as God is with you, and he says, Lo, I'm with you always. I'm with you always. I'm with you always. Even to the end of the age. So I'm with you always and I'm there forever. That's what he said. I'm with you always and I'm there forever. I'm talking to all of you, really. I'm with you always and I'm there forever. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Whatever the intent is, shall not see the light of day. No evil shall befall you, neither shall any plague come near your dwelling. That's the word of God. That's the promise of God. Father, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Makados, Sekila, Brasuta, Felida. Yeah, mangro sofeli de brando soprande stefali kataya. We stand in faith, in agreement with you. Thank you because your presence overwhelms her, reassuring her, reassuring her. Your presence becomes more real than any other thing. But you are with her becomes more real than any other thing. That you love her becomes more real than any other thing. But the past means nothing because it's been taken, the handwriting of the things that were against us have been taken and nailed to the cross becomes more real. But if any man be in Christ, a new creature, all things pass away. Behold, all things have become new. Everything, 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 everything. No inroad, no inroad, no inroad for the devil. No, no, no. Makaboshta brahande, sofalia kadishta brahande. Thank you, Lord. The overwhelming presence. That's just a manifestation and real, real, even without trying. Your presence becomes so real, but nothing, no fear is able to take root. We'll break everything, break every yoke by the power of God and in the name of Jesus. By the power of God and in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Complete reversal. Complete reversal. And that is, you have now dreams of victory. Dreams of victory will replace that nightmare. You will see dreams where you overcome, where the enemy runs. He said they shall come to you one way, but they shall disappear and run in 7 ways. He says, whom you resist steadfast in the faith, and the devil will flee from you. Thank you, Lord. 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 Leka la bosta brahane, sokro bosta velenishta brahane, sokro bosta velenishta brahane, le praso velenishta brahane. Just leave her for a while, leave her for a while. There's no hurry. Sometimes God puts us under his anesthesia.
so he can work on us. So he can work on us. But that healing anointing is quite strong. That box is quite strong. That's the eye. Better. Mark 8, Jesus laid down on the man. And he said, I see men as trees. He laid hands again. He laid hands again. Yeah. So we're saying clarity. Yeah. It's getting better and better and better. Speak healing, clarity, complete clarity to that high. Completely made well. Completely made well. Complete restoration. Complete restoration. The working of miracles. Marco Bosta Brahando Socro Bosta Veleni, Mamre Kesto Brahando Socro Porkinish Tabahane. Say back pain. Back pain. Once had a harrowing back pain. I mean, it's just a bad back pain. That's you. That's where you came from. How is the back? Completely well. What couldn't you do? Just come, come. What couldn't you do? Leka Boshta Brahando, Sopradishta Brahase, Velida Brahando, Soprosto Vedadi. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Let me one prayer. Thank you, Lord. Ask for a miracle. Thank you, Lord, for complete replacement and restructuring of the bones by the power of God. Complete realignment. We speak the end to that pain. We speak the end to that pain. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Just give him praise. I appreciate him. Thank you. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Thank him. Touch me. Theo, let's pray with you. As he goes to school, to university, we shouldn't call it school now. Are we? Because levels don't change. So as he goes to university, someone sent me a lovely scripture this morning. And I'm just going to read that. That's Isaiah 61. Maybe we'll have to read it from verse 6. It said, but you shall be named the priest of the Lord. They shall call you the servants of our God. You shall eat the riches of the Gentiles, and in their glory you shall boast. Instead of your shame, you shall have double honor. And instead of confusion, they shall rejoice in their portion. Therefore, in their land, they shall possess double. Everlasting joy shall be theirs. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery for burnt offering. I will direct their walk in truth and will make with them an everlasting covenant. This is where I'm going. So that person where the books, you'll also be praying that for him. It says, their descendants shall be known among the Gentiles and their offspring among the people. All who see them will acknowledge them, that they are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. All who see you will acknowledge you, that you are the posterity whom God has blessed. The hand of the Lord will be strong upon you. Even there, it will separate you. You will not be negatively influenced. You will be fired up even more for the Lord. The Lord will reveal himself to you stronger, even more now than ever before. You will know him better. But not only so, you will succeed exceedingly at your course, and all will acknowledge that you are the posterity whom the Lord has blessed. So Father, stretch your hands and pray for him. Father, we thank you. Thank you for Temilulua. Thank you for being with him. Indeed, we know you will keep him in all his ways. You will keep him in all his ways. He will always know and be assured that you are with him all over time. Thank you because you direct his steps. You will give him good friends. You will give him favor with everyone there in the name of Jesus. You will keep him healthy in the name of Jesus. Thank you because no evil will befall him. No plague will come near his dwelling. Thank you because he shall be above only and never beneath. In the name of Jesus. And that which he lays up his hand upon to do shall prosper in his hands. In the name of Jesus. Thank you because the mind of Christ will manifest in and through him. In the name of Jesus. We give you praise and glory for his life. Thank you because your fire will also be stronger than ever within him. In the name of Jesus. He shall dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of his life, forever and ever. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Let's give God praise this morning. Let's appreciate him.